little foolish decisions lead to big foolish decisions. Knowing a man, not your husband, too closely can lead to tragedy.
When disaster leads to tragedy. There was this really cool lady who published a homeschool magazine that I really liked. You would think that a Christian wife and mother of many children wouldn't fall prey to tragedy, but she played with a possible disaster and it took her down. This is how it happened. While at a large homeschooling convention where she was one of the leading speakers, she met a fine, spiritually minded man who was also one of the main speakers. The two really hit it off. He was really cool. I am not being sarcastic. He was handsome, wise, and seemingly godly. Although both speakers thought they were being led of God and were walking in truth, in reality, they had both just been caught up in the homeschool movement. As Scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:5, they had a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. When the lady went back home, the two leaders had legitimate reasons to text, and they did text. At first it was okay, until the day she had an argument with her lazy, unspiritual husband. When she reached her lowest point, Mr. Cool knew just what to say to make her feel better. Thus, they got to know each other in a more personal way through the sharing of pain and disappointments of her marriage. Then, of course, he began sharing some of his frustrations about his wife's lack of interest in homeschooling their children. In time, he began sharing his wife's disinterest towards intimacy. When God wanted one word to describe sexual intimacy, he chose no. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Genesis 4:1. When one opens the door of one's spirit and emotions to another of the opposite sex, the result is knowing. The man and woman, without any physical contact, were indulging their emotions to their own gratification. Mrs. Magazine Lady felt his pain. At the next homeschooling conference, they went out for coffee. The sweet, spiritual intimacy they had come to share through texting had taken their consciences to places neither of them would have allowed in a social context. At this second meeting, the energy between them caught them both by surprise. They were amazed at how attracted they were to each other. It felt so good, so fulfilling, love like they had never known. It must be of God, they thought. Surely both of them had made a mistake and married the wrong person. Our love was meant to be. The Bible says in James 1:15, Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The visionary replies, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Proverbs 9:17. People often think the forbidden boundary is the act of fornication. Not so. These two crossed the boundary the day they met at the first conference and decided the other person was of such interest that they wanted further contact through texting. Each act of texting was foreplay. When they finally met in person the second time, they were already turned on to each other. They left their consciences further in the dirt every time they advanced their emotional intimacy through their digital communication. When they agreed to going together for coffee, it was just the next to last of many steps away from virtue. They divorced their spouses and the two hot lovers married. After a few weeks of bliss, they lived in a state of constant stress and unhappiness. Now, years later, they both know that their wild attraction was just pie in the sky. The visionary says, How weak is thine heart, saying the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of the imperious whorish woman, as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. Ezekiel 30:32. As a young unmarried girl, do you think you would have to be married in order for texting love affair to be soulish adultery? Think again. In the next story, the girl had never even been kissed. This is not a story I read in a book or got from a letter. I heard this sad tale sitting at my own kitchen table. I watched the tears flow down the faces of those who knew her. Her parents were shocked senseless for days because it never occurred to them that their clean, wholesome, homeschooled girl might have been doing this thing by her own volition. Young bride-to-be's pie in the sky. Jane was 23 years old before Roger asked for her hand in marriage. It came as a total surprise to her. He was a friend of her brother, but had never really shown her any special attention. Roger was shy and awkward around her, and she was so nervous around him she couldn't say a word. He was a nice guy, and she would have swooned over him if he had asked for her just 3 months earlier, but now she wasn't sure. Jane had been secretly texting and emailing a guy from Florida for several months. Through a mutual friend, he had asked to be on her Facebook page. She had never actually met Mr. Florida, but they had discussed everything while texting. As soon as Roger left her family's house after asking for her hand in marriage, she rushed into her bedroom to email Mr. Florida of Roger's proposal and then shared with him her nervousness, fears, uncertainties, and doubts. Mr. Florida totally understood. Every evening for weeks, Roger came over to visit her, but she never could open up to him the way she could with Mr. Florida. But the wedding was scheduled anyway, for Jane wanted to get married. Mr. Florida never mentioned marriage. She knew her parents would never approve of him anyway, as they had narrow expectations of a suitor. 2 weeks before the wedding, Jane was getting very nervous. She emailed Mr. Florida saying she wished Roger were like him. She felt like she was marrying a stranger. Mr. Florida said he wished with all his heart they could be together, just to talk this out and make sure she was doing the right thing. In confused desperation, she bought a bus ticket and slipped out of the house. Mr. Florida met her at the bus station and took her to a motel, where she fell into his arms weeping. They didn't mean for it to happen. They just felt so connected, like it was meant to be. You do understand, don't you? After a week of sleeping together at the motel, the spiritual, Bible-quoting, deeply sincere Mr. Florida revealed that he was already married and had 2 kids. He explained that he desperately loved her and that she was so much more than his own pitiful wife, but he had a commitment to his family. She walked into the motel an unkissed virgin. 7 days later, she walked out pregnant. Jane got back on the bus and went home. Her relationship with Mr. Florida was just a pie in the sky. It felt more real than what she felt for Roger. Why? Because Jane believed she knew Mr. Florida. They experienced intimacy as they texted. They became relaxed and confident with each other, which made physical intimacy hard to resist. Emailing, texting, and phoning was the sin that led to her ugly tragedy. She had skated close to sin every time she punched a letter on her keyboard, and God is not mocked. Every time she pushed send, she sent him a part of her intimate self. She had already given herself away before she closed the door to a cheap motel room with the noise of the interstate in the background. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1:15. Her texting brought death to her lifelong hopes, dreams, and the possibility of becoming a pure bride. Roger didn't want a candy bar that had already been licked, so he went elsewhere and found a nice, chaste girl who didn't text. I must note, just a few weeks after this event, someone found the charming Mr. Florida on Facebook getting to know another nice Christian girl.
Thank you for listening to this excerpt from Preparing to be a Helpmeet. As always, remember to check for specials on this and other audiobooks on our website.